2 Timothy chapter number 3, been looking at this, I won't just be quick here. We've been looking at this book. We saw, again, the personal testimony in verse 1 and 2 of chapter 1. Present testings, the rest of chapter 1 and chapter 2, and then started in chapter 3 with predicted times, and Paul's given the idea, and you can see there in verse number 1 of chapter number 3, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. He was living in a day when they were arresting Christians and they were burning them at the stake and throwing them to lions, and he said, perilous times are coming. We're not quite there yet, but we're heading that direction. And I don't know that we will see, maybe, what all they saw in that time, but I can tell you this, that right after the rapture, that there is going to be a persecution again and martyrdoms. They're still in existence today, but it will be amped up a lot during those days. Paul said these things are coming, and he tells us in the beginning of chapter number 3, things to be looking for as we get closer and into these last days, which I believe that we're in. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, we've entered these last days, have been in them, but and again, not making a joke, but we're closer now than we've ever been, obviously. But you can see things rapidly. In order for the end times, for what we read in the book of Revelation, just free minute to talk, right? The focus of the world has to be on Israel again. And Israel has to be hated, and there will be war against Israel. And we see that. And across the world, there will be wars and rumors of wars going on across the world, and we see that. There will be weird diseases and pestilences, and we've seen that. So much hatred, perversions. We see these things. Again, I'm not saying the Lord's coming back today. He could. But it may be another 50 years, maybe 100 years. I'm not God. But I can tell you this, that where the stage has to be, it's coming there. America has to decline. Has to. Democracy has to be gone from the world. Because they're going to welcome in an antichrist, a one world leader, a dictator. And so democracy has to go that direction. I'm not saying we're going to see it fall. Matter of fact, my personal opinion, which is the path I hope it takes place, is the fact that the rapture will take place. And when that happens, this country will implode. I just will. I mean, I know there's issues. There's Christians all over the world, but per capita, there's more in this country than anywhere. And when millions of people in this country are gone, you talk about rioting and fear and looting, right? And so I hope that's the path it goes. I don't want to see our country could fall like Rome and others, right? And it could go down that path too. But I know this, that democracy has to go away. And us as a world power, we're just not found in prophecies. So I would love to tell you, you know, but we're not. So, but we won't care. We'll be in heaven. So it's okay, and I'm not saying, look, go out and vote this election. Please go vote. All right, say why? Because you're an American citizen. All right, vote and do it legally, please. But go vote. All right, and we want to preserve what God's given to us. He's been very gracious to our country. I'm an American. I'm not ashamed of that. I'm thankful for this country, and I'm behind this country, and I pray for forgiveness for our country, because going down making a lot of bad mistakes, but pray, and this country can still see a time of revival. I believe in places we're seeing some of that. We had 17 souls saved just at our church in June, and I know of at least 12 in July. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. People are getting saved, and it's not time to say, well, that's it, pack it in. No, it's time to redeem the time and to get busy doing even more. And so when I read these things, I'm not ready to go hide in a box somewhere and be like, well, it's about over, all right? And it's an exciting time for us. We need to get excited about the things of God and winning souls. And so we saw these things, and we'll get into this now. We see in chapter 3, all the way to the beginning of chapter number 4, the approaching days of apostasy. We've already studied this in verse 1 through 3 of chapter 3. We saw some deadly roots exposed. And then, and starting in verse number 4, all the way to the beginning of chapter number 4, we saw deadly fruits exposed. We've already talked about in verse number 3 and 4 of chapter 3, morality in the last days, as we see there, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent fears, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And then we saw the mentality in the last days, starting in verse number 5. We saw that there will be scornful, what we call scornful maniacs. I love my outline with this section, right? Scornful maniacs in verse number 4, right? As they'll be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. They'll just love themselves and love these things. And we saw secular materialism. Again, that lovers of pleasure. And then in verse number 5, there'll be sanctimonious moralist. That's big fancy words. Verse number 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. There'll be lots of religion, but very little of the power of God working, right? And we see that. We talked about that already in verse number 5, which leads us to verse number 6. Let's read verse 6, 7, 8, 9. It says there, verse 6, for of this sort are they, which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I love you. Thank you, Lord. Tonight's just been overwhelming. And I pray just my thoughts. I pray that, Lord, you just be in control, my mouth, myself. And, Lord, I just pray that you'd use these few minutes now as we look at these verses. Lord, that we're, as we just see what you've told us to be looking for in these last days. And, Lord, we see it. Open our eyes that we behold wondrous things out of thy law. And Father, we love you. Just speak to us all, please. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Number 4, in verse number 6, there will be seducing monsters. Seducing monsters. For of the sort are they which creep into houses. Now what sort? People who will try to have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. Not only will there be churches that will be out there, and again, I'm just putting everything under the term church, right? But there's so many different religions and denominations, and I'm just all of that, a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And it's there, and in the power of God, we talked about the last two Thursday nights, what it takes to have the power of God. And but not just churches, but there's going to be pastors. In verse number 6, it describes them, and I outlined them as seducing monsters. Again, don't get mad at me. I'm just preaching the Bible, which is what all that matters. Amen. And some things may I say may not be politically correct, but it's biblically correct, right? And so, but in verse number 6, the Bible says that in these last days, not only will be churches, but there's going to be pastors, unfortunately, people that say they're pastors, who are going to be going about preying upon immature women. That's what it says. For of this sort are they which creep into houses. In other words, these ladies will already have their own house, their own home, but these preachers are going to get in. I hate saying that. I hate what I'm saying. I hate it. But it's true. But there'll be people who claim to be pastors who will be going into houses where ladies are already in those houses and are going to seduce those women away from their families to live an ungodly life. I'm just telling you what it says. So church, pay close attention to what I'm reading. For of the sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lust. These monsters will begin preying on immature and the faith ladies, and they will worm their way into their homes, and they will use their words, and they will lead these ladies astray. They're wicked men. They're wicked men. And they're leading these women away captive, enslaved. These ladies will go and they'll literally surrender themselves to them. They'll become prisoners, the Bible says, laden with sin. Their life will begin to spiral to a depth they didn't think that it could get. And they'll get so burdened and laden with sin, they won't even realize what a prisoner they've become to these sin. They'll become guilt-ridden, laden with sin. Led away with divers lust, they'll become sensual. They'll be led by lust. This guilt will begin to pile upon them. Now listen closely, because I'm about to describe to you the last 3 years and a lot of our, we'll just leave it at the fundamentalist crowd, all right? But there'll be so much guilt and so much wickedness and so much of this going on that women will be laden with this sin and laden with this guilt, and it will create this victim world. Which is true about these monsters who did these things. It is true. Those men should be thrown in jail. Those men who maybe aren't breaking any laws but are doing things immoral and sensual and tearing homes away and fulfilling their own lust by doing so and leading these women into, and you see their lives going from whatever form of godliness they had, they're just turning away from all godliness, but they know what's right, and so they live a miserable life because they know inside their heart what's right, but they don't know how to get out of it, and in all cases, it's sad and terrible and horrendous to watch as these are suffering, but then down the road, they will point at churches and point at pastors and create this victim mentality that overcomes a society and it begins to destroy the testimony of the Lord's churches. You're watching it. You're watching it. There are documentaries all about what I'm preaching on. And those women that were taken advantage of and abused, and I hope every one of those men face full extent of the law. But that's not, just because it happens in one church doesn't mean it's all churches. Remember that. And those that are doing such things should face the consequences for their sin. But it creates a victim mentality to where you can't trust anyone, and these ladies will begin, that's what the verse is talking about, that these ladies will begin to live in a life where all the only real comfort that they ever find is getting other ladies and trying to create a victim mentality in them, and pretty soon everybody is a victim of something. Pretty soon you can't trust anyone. Pretty soon church is bad, which is, see all the previous five verses of where you'll get that which is good, they're going to call evil. And it creates this victim world. In these last days, we're going to see that, and we are. We're going to see people who call themselves pastors who are going to get into homes and destroy homes. Those men are wicked. And I'm not just writing off and saying, poor ladies, nothing is on them. No, they made a choice too. So what do? We pray for God to save. We pray for God to rescue. We pray for God, and we love people, and we pray for them. Do I know a story like that? I do too. And unfortunately, according to the Word of God, there's going to be more. So how do I pray about these things? Well, pray, number one, that never happens here. And the way that we ensure that never happens here is by every one of us keeping our nose in this book, every one of us walking with God, every one of us just want to glorify God, every one of us holding each other accountable, every one of us walking and just living a life where we hate sin and just want to live a holy life, and God forbid that we fall into this, any of us. But it's going to be out there. Of this sort, having a form of godliness but denying the power, of this sort are they. There's the people. They're going to creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lust. And life will become very sensual and carnal and everything about ourselves and pleasing ourselves. Can I say this to church? I believe the Lord's leading me to say this. Just like the prodigal, his father couldn't go on and support him and everything that he was doing. Be careful about supporting and helping those who find themselves in this mess, God may need them to hit rock bottom before they can see reality. I hope you understand my heart. I hate it. Just preaching the Bible. But there will be seducing monsters. Verse 7, 8, 9, there will be sophisticated, I love my outline, there'll be sophisticated morons. Verse number 7, notice at the end of verse number 6, what punctuation there? There's a comma, so we're still talking about the same group, right? Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. We see under this sophisticated morons, if you will, you see under this a futile quest for truth. These false teachers that will be leading astray these silly women and these men that are monsters that are doing such a thing, they will lure people away, especially these ladies. They will lure them away with new words, seemingly sounding sophisticated. They'll be powerful speakers. They will use their words and be very well spoken. They will be educated, ever learning, and never able to come to knowledge of the truth. They will use, and especially in the world that we live in today, they'll use social media as platforms to sound like they've got it all figured out, to make them sound like they're right, to make them sound like they have it, you know, they're on the right path. And they will even use their platforms to try to bully those, calling those who are good evil. And tear down anything that doesn't line up with what they're doing. It's going to happen in the last days. And it's happening. But you notice that they keep on learning and they're very educated, but there's one thing they just can't come to grips with. There's just one thing. I mean, they're learning a lot, but there's this one thing that they just don't want to accept. Truth. Truth. They got a lot of words, and they'll twist a lot of sayings, and they'll make themselves sound all, it's all okay. But there's this one little, that's really important thing that they just don't want to talk about. It's called truth. Truth, like someone who this describing, who obviously is in a place of authority, who goes into homes and leads the lay and breaks up homes and leads women captive. Little things like those men shouldn't be pastoring. Now I'm just preaching Bible. Husband of one wife is still in the Bible. Ruling well their home, still in the Bible. Leading their family correct is still a qualification. Not being a brawler and threatening people is still a qualification. Amen. Still there. You see, there's this one thing that they love to talk about, but they miss this one thing. It's called truth. That adultery is still a sin. That fornication is still wrong. That listening to the world's junk and their music and all this stuff is not the way to grow as a Christian. You see, that truth thing keeps getting in the way. And it's not my truth. Thy word is truth. I'm not giving you Travis Burke's opinion. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. We can go back to 1 Timothy 3 and read all of them if you want to. See, that's truth. Well, I feel it's okay. It don't matter how we feel. And even if a church accepts it, doesn't make it right. God forbid, but if Cazado Baptist Temple said, well, Brother Burke, you can have six wives if you want to. We're still going to have you as the pastor. You can vote on all you want to. We'd be wrong. We can approve it. We can put it in a constitution, and we can become a Mormon, but we'd be wrong. Because they believe that. You see, they don't practice that. Remember Travis Burke said this on August 11, 2024. They will again soon. Just mark that. Then somebody could be like, you were right, right? Mark that. Amongst the Mormon church right now, there's about, in their big council, I don't know why I'm talking about this, but just so you watch it, right? There are big, whatever they call their elders. About five of them are in their 80s. They're not too much longer for this world. And I'm not saying if you're 80, keep on living, right? I'm just saying they're not looking at 50, 60 years, okay? I didn't want to be able to get offended at me, right? But 50 years from now, I won't be here, right? And of that board, you'd remove that group, and an 80% margin, they're going to approve sodomy in the Mormon church. And the reason why that's becoming so prevalent, did you know that over 40% of the Mormon members are now claiming to be sodomites? And one of the big reasons is because they all go out in the mission field, set by two, they're unsaved. Then they're coming home, and it's becoming prevalent. And the morals are all going to start being voted down, and then sensuality is going to start kicking in. And just mark my words on that. Say, why would you even be talking about it? Because literally Brigham Young and Joseph Smith are the epitome of verse number 6 that we just read. You know why Mormons approved multiple wives in the first place, right? Because Mrs. Smith caught her husband in an adulterous affair. So Mr. Smith said, God says, it's okay. Research it, right? Yeah. You're all staring at me weird. But that's literally verse number 6, all right? Yeah. Anyways, we'll go on, all right? It's this whole truth thing that keeps getting in the way. So a futile quest for truth, and then secondly, a fatal quarrel with truth. Verse 8 and 9 says, first of all, we see an example in verse number 8. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Again, it isn't that truth isn't out there. They don't want it. To resist something, right? Today we stopped over at Grace's and I ate real quick because I had to come back here. And they were feeding Allie strawberries. And Allie was loving the strawberries. And I learned, I even sent a video to my sister Rachel, that a little bit of my father is in Allie, because Allie would take a bite, Grace would be preparing the next bite, she'd be like, nyah! Patience was thin, all right. Grace is like, feeding her. Then eventually they switched over to a little protein, got a little egg. Allie started eating the egg. You want to see something funny? Watch Allie chew egg. She's like, funny. But eventually she got to a point, she was full. And the spoon was lifted up, and she's like, meh. Kind of pushed it away. Turned her head. She's done. She was resisting. It was there. She was resisting. And it will come a point in these last days that there will be all these people, these monsters, these wicked people that are, truth's going to be there. How do you know? Because it's right in front of us. But they're going to be like, I don't want to, no. You know what they have to do? They have to change their book too, by the way. When they start heading down that path, this old King James all of a sudden becomes archaic. Watch and see. So they got to change their book. They got to change the way they're looking at things. And so Paul here gives us an example of Jannes and Jambres. Now, who are they? Well, Jewish history, because they're not mentioned in the Bible, but Jewish history records that these two, they're the names of the magicians that Moses confronted whenever he came in to talk to Pharaoh. Remember the first thing he did when Moses threw his rod down, and what happened to his rod? It became a serpent, right? There were these two magicians. Their names were James and Jambres. They threw their rods down. You know what happened to their rods? They became serpents. So how did that happen? Trickery? Maybe. Maybe. Probably. Demonic work? Definitely. Definitely. Evil? Without a doubt. But you know what happened to those Janes and Jambres snakes? Moses' rod snake ate them. Isn't that awesome? I hate snakes, but I would have watched that show. Ate them things. It's a lesson. They would later go on, remember whenever they turned the water into blood? Janes and Jambres turned water into blood. You say, was it trickery? Maybe. Demonic activity? No doubt. Remember when Moses called forth frogs? So did Janes and Jambres. Can I ask you a question? Why? I mean, seriously. The whole place is infested with frogs. I can do that too. I mean, why would you do that? But they're mimicking the power of God. And finally, Moses took the dust, threw it in the air, and it became lice. James and Jambres, no doubt, were married and had kids, and they're like, nope. Our wives can't handle that, right? Nope, nope. But they couldn't do that. But the point of all that is this, that they acted like they had the power. They acted as if they were equal with Moses. But they weren't. This group of people in verse number 6 were of this sort, are they which creep in the houses. Ever learning in verse number 7, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And they will, in verse number 8, now as Janes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these resist the truth. These false teachers, these monsters in our outline, they're going to look and act and talk like they're God's servants. But they're not. Because they're resisting the truth. And in the end, God will reveal that. You see, it's not my job and it's not your job to go and attack, and, you know, I'm not going out there and running my mouth on social media. You say, well, you're talking tonight. Yeah, I know, because you're my church. And I'm going to protect my sheep. And I'm going to warn my sheep, and I'm going to try to help my sheep to understand what's going on in some of the world that they're watching, all right? But I'm not going to go out there, and I'm not, you say, well, what did Moses do to Janes and Jambres? Nothing. God took care of it. God will reveal the truth. And it says there that they're an example as James and Jambres withstood Moses. Then you see an explanation in verse number 8. Keep reading. So did these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Now all I've done is just describe what the Bible says. Amen? And he explains what's going on in these men's minds that are doing this. Look at verse number 8 again. Number 1, they're resisting the truth. In other words, they know better, or someone's tried to show them, but they don't want to hear it. They're resisting the truth, and not only are they resisting, but they're rejecting the truth, men of corrupt minds. They've rejected the truth to the point to where their mind thinks they're right. They really believe they're right. They have corrupted their own mind. They really believe the lies that they're speaking. So what kind of lies? That their sin's okay. Their sexual sins are acceptable. Their destroying other women's homes is acceptable. They really believe that. They've corrupted their minds. Because they've said something and practiced something so long, they've corrupted their minds to where they, I'm okay. And where it leads them, there's a resisting and a rejecting, but it leaves them with a reprobate mind. See, he says, these withstood Moses, so these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Brother Matt and I were driving down the road yesterday. I think it was yesterday we listened to this. Might have been Friday on the way up. But we listened to this man. He was interviewing a priest. And in the interview, the priest shared that he was a sodomite. And then he shared, and the guy interviewing him said, he was shocked. He literally said, I'm shocked. He said, do you think that's okay? And the priest said, I know it's okay. And the man interviewing, whether he's a Christian or not, I don't know, he said, but he asked this question, he goes, do you think God is okay with this? And the priest said, I know God's okay with this. Amen. And then the priest made this statement. He said, God made me this way. Now, we listen to that, right, Brother Matt? That's exactly what was said. See, what's going on? That man resisted the truth, rejected the truth, his mind is corrupt, and he's become reprobate to the faith. In other words, that word reprobate means he's not standing where he should stand on truth. And in these last days, we're going to see more and more and more of that. You see the example and explanation of it and what happens. And then in verse number 9, in exposure, read this and we'll close. But they, who's they? It's these monsters we've been talking about. But they shall proceed no further. For their folly shall be manifest unto all men as theirs also was. Just like Janes and Jambres were shown to be fakes and not of God, one day God will show. One day all will see. And their folly will be made manifest to all men. One day. You say, how's things going to be made right? God will take care of it. You say, what's all this preaching for us? We got to be careful. Because if you don't think the devil wants to corrupt Kazato Baptist Temple and lead us astray and bring in compromise and bring in sin, then we're very mistaken. The enemy wants to destroy our church. He wants to destroy our families. He wants to destroy our lives. I think there's been more than one good man that was standing for truth that got swept away in these things. And it may not be the same path as that person interviewed I just shared, but you know as well as I do that there's been a lot of people we know that once stood right where this Bible stands that now preach against what I just preached. There's been people that stand just as strong as you and I think we stand, who have allowed their mind, they've resisted truth, they allowed their minds to get corrupted, and they've become reprobate to the faith. Can't happen here. Yeah, it can. It can. 20 years. Praise the Lord. Love to be standing here 20 years from now. I would love to preach that, praise God, for 20 more years that we've not become a Janes and Jambres. So you pray for me. I'm praying for you. Let's keep our nose in this book. Let's call sin what it is. Let's make sure we're right. I can't control anyone, but I can control me. Let's choose to do right.